And now, please, with a big warm applause, open the stage for Sangeeta Lerner with Decolonize Yoga.
Thank you. So just a small, I don't have a studio. Just to start there, I don't have a studio. I've never worked in a yoga studio. It's actually a very important part of my work. So, yeah. Can you hear me well? It's okay. And you can come ahead. I don't buy it. There's enough space to sit or stand. Or actually, take a moment to really find a way to be comfortable in your body. If you need to get up, if you need to move at some point, it's fine, but be aware of who's around you and how that might affect the other person too. So that's the only requirement. So, yeah. Actually, I wanted to also, apart from the presentation, I wanted to ask you to think about why are you here? One question is, why are you here in Fusion? And the second part of the question is, why are you here? Is it only because it's raining outside and you're in a tent? Or it's also because you want to listen to what is being said? Unfortunately, we don't have enough time for me to hear or for you to share with each other. So just take a moment to understand why are you here and what is it about fusion that you really celebrate. I can tell you about what I feel. Like for me, fusion feels like the right place to be because it's political. And for me, personal is political. And the second thing that I see, I've been here the last few years, and this time is very different for me also and for what I see around. And I feel like fusion is a place where you can show up as you are. Doesn't matter what size, what race, what gender, what clothes. And it seems like there's also a lot of an effort put in individual pleasure, but it cannot happen unless there's a collective understanding of this pleasure. And to me, I see people really celebrating this freedom that they feel here. And that is what yoga is about. It's about liberation. It's about individual and collective liberation. So I feel it makes sense that I'm here and doing this decolonizing work. But before we start, there are certain assumptions and agreements that we will go through, which is the framework of coming together in a mindset. Yeah, and assumptions are not up for discussions. They're just assumptions. They're not agreements. We don't have to agree. It's an assumption. So the assumption is we live in a toxic culture. We're conditioned not to see the toxic nature of culture and instead to normalize things that are horrific and absurd. Intent does not equal impact. Especially in the spiritual love light kind of world, there's a lot of pressure on the fact that intention is not good gemeint. Yoga soll doch alle machen. It's also great, but if the impact is not right, it's not enough. I have a feeling this is also a cultural difference. I feel like I've seen a lot. I'm a mother of two kids, and when I first moved here, I realized if a kid by mistake hurts somebody else, the first reaction is, er hat das nicht so gemeint. And we're so focused on the fact that it was not meant to be like that. That there's no gain, there's no shame, guilt. There's a lot of focus on that part rather than looking at who's hurt, what happened. Can we just take a focus on who is hurting instead of saying it was not so gemeint? There's a lot of feeling of shame in this, and I want to invite you to. I come here to not make you feel uncomfortable or take away yoga from you. So please don't feel any shame if there's anything that you've done that you feel is not aligned with what I'm saying. But be aware that if it causes hurt or harm, that we, it is up to us to take an action against it and change our action. Our different points of privilege and oppression affect how we move through the world, hold space for ourselves and others. We all bring wisdom to this space, and we all have things to learn. So I'm not going to stand here and have the solution for you, or nor do I know everything. There are things I don't know and I won't know. And I'm open to listen to what you want to share also. Hopefully we'll have time for that. We are interconnected and interdependent. And this actually we've heard in all the talks before also, about the nature, and it's a fact. In any kind of activism, this is something that we need to understand. You're not doing this because you want to do right for somebody else. We need to understand that our liberation is connected. Unless I'm free, you're not free. So it's not about coming here to save somebody else, but it's because we are interconnected that we do this work. We're not doing it for someone else, you're actually doing it for yourself. We must love ourselves into who we want to be. So again, I'm clearing the point that it's not about blaming or shaming anybody for doing whatever you do. And what we're envisioning is something that doesn't exist. So it is going to take time, and we need to vision ourselves into becoming that with love and not with some kind of radical anger or hate or shame. This is not a harm-free zone. Harm will happen, and what is important is how we respond on it. I cannot say that this is a safe space for anybody, this talk or hear what I'm holding for you. It's not even, there will be trauma coming up on me also as well as for you. So be aware of it. We are practicing what it looks like to build a community that centers accountability and care. Now those are the assumptions. Now we go to the agreements. Like I said, this is not a safe space, it's a brave space. Feel free if you need to ask any question. No question is dumb. You will not be judged for what you're asking or what you're telling. Locate yourself and speak your truth. If you want to say something, please talk from your own lived experience, not from your Kulturwissenschaft or masters or from what you, I want to hear it from an I sentence. And I feel, and not any other reason why you studied. I am not a Kulturwissenschaft. I'm speaking from my lived experience. I have trained in facilitation for race, gender, and collective healing, but that's not why I'm here. Expect and accept non-closure. It's just because we listen to a 1 hour of decolonizing, it doesn't mean we've already learned it and we're going to go back and the world is going to be different. It's a long process. It's going to take a while. So I know, I hope I can answer a few of your questions, but my wish is that you go back with more questions. Analyzing and cultivating awareness is a lifelong process. Confidentiality. If something happens here, or if something I or you, someone else shared, felt, sometimes we have these aha moments where you think, wow, this really changed something, and we want to instantly share it on Instagram. Or you want the world to know. Maybe before you share anything from anybody, ask them if they are okay with them sharing, with you sharing their story, whatever it is, yeah? So be aware, do not share things just because you want the world to know. Healing isn't linear, it is an ongoing process. While there are certain steps we can take to heal individually and collectively, healing is an ongoing process. I talk about healing in this work a lot because there's a real connection between racialized trauma and what's happening. And when we talk about racialized trauma, we expect it to be only in black, brown bodies. It's an assumption that white bodies are not carrying any racialized trauma, which is something that I invite you to really think about, because when you have this response where someone's saying something and you immediately want to go back and say, Abba, whatever you, there's a fight flight response. It's not a response from experience. If that is, then yeah. But notice if you feel uncomfortable while I'm talking about something, if you feel that your body is stiffening, you're getting irritated, there's, take an opportunity to understand where it comes from. Is it a fight, flight, freeze response? Could it be a traumatic response that's coming up? And then we talk about it, yeah? So be willing to do things differently and experience discomfort. Understand that multiple truths can coexist, and that is a practice of satya, which is, if you're a yoga practitioner, you know the word satya. A lot of people, I'm not here to tell you whether you should sing a mantra or say namaste or not. There will be friends of yours in India who might have a completely different experience as me and might say something totally different. And both of us are right. So it doesn't mean because you know one Indian who said this that it's the truth. We all have very, very different experiences, and I'm speaking from my lived experience, so you please take it as that. When harm happens, we will respond with care when we can. Based on the time we have, I don't know how much I can take care of if there's any harm. I'm happy to be here after. If anybody wants to come up and tell me something, I'm happy to listen. And now I'm inviting you to listen. Listen to understand. This work is not about the Kehlkopf hook. It's not from the throat above. It's not about intellect. It's not about intelligence. It's the work from the throat below, from the heart and the gut. If racism could be solved by intellect, we would have somebody very intelligent already solve it. But this is not about the intellect. It is about the heart and the throat the throat below. So that was our agreements. Do we agree? The agreement is the only thing that you can discuss. Okay, thank you. I'm not seeing everybody's hand up, but we don't have so much time. We have 1 hour. I would like to start with a chant. If you know the chant, please chant with me. Otherwise, you can practice listening. To me, this chant is also kind of the assumptions and agreements that are there. Actually, it's like the agreement. I'll read it, what it means. Sahana vavatu, sahana ubhunaktu, sahaviryam karvavahai, tejas vina vadhitamastu, ma vidvishavahai, om shanti, shanti, shanti. Schütze uns beide, nähre den Lehrer und mich. Gib uns beiden den Kraft, beiden Kraft, tauche uns in die Erkenntnis und lass niemals ein feindlicher Gedanken unsere Eintracht stören. So if you feel like, please, the English translation is from Google, I don't like it, but I will read it. the other translation is done by my teacher, so I like it more. Together may we move. In our studies, the teacher and the student, together may we to relish. Together may we perform and with vigor and deep concentration. May what has been studied by us be filled with the brilliance of understanding leading to knowledge. May it not give rise to hostility. Om, peace, peace, peace. So if you want, feel free to be in a comfortable position. And if you want, you can close your eyes. If you want, you can join your hands. Otherwise, find a way to feel the contact with the flow. It's also a very good practice, if at all sometimes you feel triggered, to come back to the ground. Feel how your body is connecting to the ground, whether your feet or your pelvis or whatever, if it's whatever's connecting to the ground. And also connect with the wind element, the air that you breathe. It is the same air that is in your lungs in my lungs, in all our lungs. It is the same air that is in this room and outside this stage. And there's enough of it for all of us. So feel free to receive this breath as a gift. All you need to do is receive it. And as you exhale, completely let go of every bit of air, knowing that there's enough and there's the next breath coming. Sahana Vavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karvavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So now we can start the practice of yoga. And what we're doing is practicing yoga. This is yoga, consciously being aware of our actions. I want to name also one thing. We chanted Atha Yoga Anushasanam is the first Yoga Sutra. It's written in Sanskrit. I chanted something in Sanskrit, but I want to also name Sanskrit is not the only language of yoga. And there, yoga has been influenced by many indigenous practices in India, and Hinduism is not the only gate. What's happening in India right now is extremely dangerous. That's why I want to name it that Hinduism has nothing to do with yoga. And it's not only Sanskrit that is the authoritative language of yoga. So now we can start about what is yoga. Yoga is one of the six fundamental systems of Indian thought, collectively known as darshana. Darshana means sight, view, point of view. The most popular definition of yoga is union. Everybody talks about it. But union in this form, it can be many things. Of course, it is unity of coming together. But coming together, also the strands of the mind together, once the mental strands come together, we are ready to practice and begin physical work. So it's a conscious practice. It's not a body practice only. To attain what was previously not attainable. Yoga is going, you're not the same, even if you practice the same vinyasa, flow, ashtanga practice, or whatever your practice is, even if you do it every day, the same thing, it is never the same. And if it is the same, then you're not aware of, then you're not practicing yoga, then you're doing sport. That is the difference of going somewhere where you've not been before is what yoga is. And in that sense, yoga is change. Another aspect of yoga has to do with conscious action, being aware, not just blindly repeating things, or when we are attentive, we don't do something simply because it was done like that before. These are, I would like to also name that these are from the book Heart of Yoga, which is written by Sri Desikachar. It's also the tradition in yoga that I practice and I teach. These are not my words. These are words from Sri Desikachar. And yoga offers us a framework to understand the cause of suffering. I know a lot of people believe that yoga is Entspannung and yoga is love and light, but the start point of yoga is suffering. In any of the yoga philosophy you see, yoga starts with suffering and in recognizing that there is suffering, and that's why there is need to move and need to change. That is what yoga is about. And it has the tools, it has the framework, it's an eight-path practice. That is what Ashtanga Yoga means. Ashtanga Yoga is not a style of yoga. The style is Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga. But every kind of yoga, it doesn't. A lot of times people have asked me what style yoga you practice. This is the question I only started asking myself here because I never knew there were so many styles of yoga. But the eight-path is yoga. In any, it doesn't matter which style you use. If it's yoga, it has to have all the eight limbs. Now we come to what is cultural appropriation. It's been really talked about a lot lately, and I'd like to quote Dr. Srina Gandhi in it. Yoga became and remains a practice which allows Western practitioners to experience the idea of another culture while focusing on the self. The Oxford Dictionary's definition is the unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption of the customs, practices, ideas of one people or society by members of another and typically more dominant people of society. Let's talk about colonization. What is colonization? According to Oxford Dictionary, the action or process of settling among and establishing control over the indigenous people of an area, as well as the action of appropriating a place or domain for one's own use. It's not something from the past. Think about how we're still colonizing places, yeah? It's not something that only the British did or the French or, you know, it's not about that. We are still colonizing a lot of places, so please be aware of it. Entitlement to pick and choose and to take what we want from the yogic system. I explained, yogic system, it's a system, a thought system. It's not just one body practice, asana. Entitlement to pick and choose to and take what we want from the yogic system because it benefits us without regard of those we are impacting is colonial supremacy. Now we go back to what cultural appropriation, we talked about it, involves power and dominance. It involves doing emotional and psychological harm. Cultural appropriation is when someone uses someone else's culture, including practices, symbols, rituals, fashion, or other elements from a target or minority culture without considering the source, origins, or people of the culture. Another form cultural appropriation affects or is shown in the world is to make profit, to make a new trend. There's face yoga, goat yoga, gun yoga, acro yoga. I'm sure there are people who are going to get offended with what I'm saying. We can talk about it. There's doga also. You can go to do yoga with your dog and it's doga. There's beer yoga, which is very, very popular in Berlin or Germany maybe. Or else to be a cultural tourist or to be exotic. The number of times we hear that I learned yoga in India. And so it becomes authentic because of that. Or you become an expert. This is something that also I would like to also say that there's a very great resource where most of my work is influenced from, and it's called Dismantling Racism Works. And there's a great workbook, you can go through it, read it, which also defines and explains characteristics of white culture. And one of the characteristics is expert status. In the West, people like to be expert at something. So you do a 200-hour Ausbildung, and then suddenly you're the expert. You know what the other person needs. Whereas the very form of yoga, the way I've experienced it, and I study it, and I really cherish, it has nothing to do with being an expert. It has something to do with demut, or like humbleness. Which is so little appreciated in the West. To be humble, it means to be, you don't know your thing too well. So this is also one of the forms where you see how it's getting colonized, because we are always, if you're humble, we say, welcome, come to our land, and then you think we're somehow weak. But that's not, it actually comes from this basic understanding that it's a lifelong study. You cannot become an expert in 10 years even. I don't think I'm an expert. I'm 44 years old. I've born in this culture, but I don't, and nor does my teacher, who's 70 years old and has been practicing for many years. Or else it becomes a cultural, tourist, exotic. The other way it's shown in the West is to mold it, to make it Eurocentric. Bei uns können wir nicht chanten, oder we cannot do this, or it's very sterile. Everything is very clean. Of course, hygienically, it should be clean, but that's not what it's about. We need to have this mat, you need to have these clothes, and you need to have this to make practice yoga, which is, my question is, no, actually, you don't need anything to practice yoga. You just need to be breathing and be willing to be friends with your own breath. And by doing all these things that we're doing, like having this particular mat, particular clothes, particular things, the question is, who are you leaving behind? Who are you not letting out? How do we create rooms that are really open and welcome to everybody? Does it have to be under yoga? Then this is not yoga. Yoga is not about a performance. Yoga is not about how you look or how you behave. It's about going in. There's a false perception of appreciation also when it comes to Indian culture. I can only talk about my experiences, but this happens with all cultures, and indigenous practices from many, many cultures are being appropriated, especially in festivals. So the other way is to, I've heard often from people also like, come on, it's a symbol, you know. But I would like to also tell you something about the first German well-known appropriator were the Nazis. They took a swastika symbol, which means a lot, which means something to my culture, and they made it into something completely different. And now when you see that symbol, it instantly reminds you of something. Which is, symbols are not just anything. They have a meaning, and they mean something for people with their lived experiences. So on a om on your shoe mat or on a mat means something to us. I will never step on it because it feels disrespectful. It might be a nice fashion, nice looking calligraphy thing for you, but this way, this is also one of the ways we keep people out. And there have been very, very popular, rich yoga teachers who've said, ah, oh, come, yes, you know. Gods. We don't want to talk about yoga being Hindu, but we want the gods from there, yeah? We want the Shivas, we want the Shaktis, we want the Ganeshas. They're everywhere. They can be part of their... They can be in the toilet. They can be next to the shoe rack. It doesn't mean anything to people, most people. But if we are talking about, like, everybody can come to my studio, these are the ways you completely shut them out. These gods mean something. We grew up with stories and they mean a lot. I can't tell you what Shakti is. And but I can definitely tell you it's not the divine feminine. And I can tell you Shiva is not this divine masculine. This whole genderizing of Shakti Shiva is something that we don't do. It's not part of that. And there are many, many stories you can read about the god to know that it's not about this. Spiritual bypassing, it's a term that I think is it happens a lot. Ich sehe kein Farbe. I don't see color. That's great. Maybe you're colorblind. You should get your eyes checked. But it's not a spiritual act. The Bhagavad Gita is also a very important text. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it's a story between that's happening at a war, Kurukshetra, between Arjun and Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita is a great text to also understand dharma, understand swadharma. What is my role? And the role of a warrior is to go to war, to protect. And in this, Arjun is also going through a crisis of like, I don't want to fight my people. I don't want to go against it. And there's that spiritual bypassing. By not doing that, he's still going to cause harm. And that's what Krishna is trying to explain to him about why he needs to play his role. We all are questioning ourselves, what is my role, right? A lot of white teachers have a feeling that I'm going to take yoga away from them. I'm not taking yoga away from you. I'm not telling you you shouldn't practice. I'm not saying white people shouldn't practice yoga. That's not what it is about. It's about understanding what is my role. Where do I play part in this colonization? Where do I play part in this capitalistic... it's a million-dollar industry now. Who's profiting from it, and how am I funding that? Is the questions you can ask yourself as you go into a yoga studio. You can go by urban sport practice. I don't know, 4 times a week. You go everywhere, hopping different styles, different things. Yoga is a relationship. It's not this consumption of constantly, if you don't have a relationship with your practice, with, and I don't mean with your mat. A lot of people say, I don't know, like relationship with your mat, relationship with your outfits. That's not, there's also a relationship with your practice, with your teacher. And it's the how traditionally yoga is actually taught. Now we talk about decolonizing. We talked about colonizing. Decolonizing involves taking conscious action. It involves returning stolen land, goods, wealth, spiritual riches, power, and knowledge, acknowledging and undoing the harm. If you Google yogi now, it's no more this sadhu in India with his dreadlock, with the hair and the ashes on his body. It's a white woman with fancy clothes and able-bodied. And how did it come there? Why are we not asking this question? Instead getting upset that am I not supposed to practice? What can I do if my body is fit? It's not. We're asking all the wrong questions here. So what I'm asking you is, let's practice yoga with respect to its roots. Let's recognize what is the role we are playing in transforming what it means. And share your power and privilege and profit. Where is this profit going? Who's profiting? And how can we share this profit? What is the privilege you have as an able-bodied person, maybe in a yoga room? How can you contribute to making the room inclusive? What can you do? It's a question you can ask. There are many ways to... It's not an answer. Like I said, it's not an answer you'll have today. But it's just questions that we can reflect on. Where do I stand? What is my role? We talk about making space and inviting, and I'm talking about like here, invite BIPOC queer trans teachers. Let them speak from their lived experience, not from anything else. Let folks who've lived this, have lived experiences, take space, take the mic. And maybe it's also sometimes okay to speak on their behalf if they've asked you to. But otherwise, it's good to make space for them. Like I said, be ready to face the discomfort, learn and unlearn. I feel really bad. Is there enough air in you? Make space you're breathing, that you're not feeling this, oh my God. What have I been doing? That's not what I'm here for. I really want you to be friends with your breath. If you realize that you're you're feeling this and you're not breathing, please breathe. If you feel like moving, move. We can change things. I need to know how much time we have actually at some point. And now also about how do I change something? One of the very important, this comes from Dismantling Racism Works. It's a very, very useful practice. In the middle is individual, personal power. That's based on individual acts. How individuals are accountable to each other and to racial justice. The triangle is institutional, policies, practices. If you're talking about yoga, I'm talking about yoga studios, Ausbildungs, Krankenkasse. Who can give the Krankenkasse yoga studio, yoga course is also a institutional issue. And then is culture, the culture we live in. How we've been socialized affects also, and where we live. How white people are included, served, financially resourced, uplifted, validated. Who has access to fundings? Who knows how to, maybe I am, sometimes I'm asked, bist du qualifiziert für eine Krankenkasse Kurse? The answer is yes, but if I look at this whole process of putting getting through the Krankenkasse, it's a system that is not made to make it easy for me to teach there. None of these systems are made for people who don't understand the system to actually be profiting from it. I would love for people to have access to yoga. This is a good gemeint. But what is the impact? Are we willing to ask, is this intention really even today valid? Are there ways we can actually really get down to it that it actually has an impact? That everybody can have access to free classes. Everybody should have access to such things. And so ask how people of color are excluded, underserved, financially exploited, oppressed, thank you, invalidated. So this is about power and the decolonizing or anti-racism, anti-capitalistic work is about power and privilege. And we all have the power, yeah? It's not like one has less. Of course, one has less and the other has probably more. But it's not like all of us have a power. Me too. All of us have some power. And the question is to recognize. And that, I love this practice. It's also coming from Dismantling Racism Works. Social location, positionality. One's position in society and culture based on their social group membership, race, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic class, ability, disability, etc., that determine their proximity to power. If we actually do an exercise right now, it would work also, but I mean, I don't want you to move. If you imagine the middle of the room being where power is. And this is a practice that I personally absolutely can say is very, very important to make a little shift in how we see the world. It can be done in the U-Bahn, it can be done in the room here, wherever you are. If the power is in the middle, and you can move based on how close you are to the power, it depends on your gender, on your sexual orientation, disability, ability, body shape and size, your age, formal education, class, citizenship, immigration status, race, I already said the gender. If you actually use it, I love this to do it as a thing wherever I am, and I realize it also brings me closer to, okay, to look how much access as an able-bodied or looking like an able-bodied person, I have access to certain things differently. As somebody who, you can do it individually based on gender. Like I said, these are the points. And it decides how close you are to the power, but it also gives you a view who's behind me and who's in front of me. So in every situation, we have the power to decide who do I want to give a hand to and who I need help from. It helps us navigate the world with a little bit of consciousness to understand where I have the power. Instead of constantly saying, what can I do? I'm just a single person with this. It's immensely powerful. I really have this practice, even if I'm sitting in a bus or a train, because it changes the way I look. If I get out of my house and I never have to think, will the lift be working? Will I get out of the station? It's something that I can really changes how I travel. I understand that there's so much ease in I can just run up the stairs. But maybe it also changes how we are together. It also changes and it reduces the pressure on. It's also my duty to then be aware of who's behind me and who's being not having the access. And that is yoga. That is from conscious awareness. And that's what yoga does. And that's why I find it disturbing that we have practices and yoga studios that are based on, that are pushing you. To me, yoga is a place where you can slow down. I also teach rest is resistance. It's where we only rest. And it's really unbelievable that it seems like, to me, it seems so obvious. How can we be continuously pushing boundaries, having so many handstands, great body, push, and call it yoga? Because it's nothing different from what's happening outside. We live in a culture which is based on how good you can perform, how can I get the maximum out of you? Productivity is the topmost. Each person is looked at as a, what can you give, how much can you consume, how much can you give or produce. So for me, I really like the words by Sri Desikachar. The success of yoga does not lie in the ability to perform postures, but in how it positively changes the way we live our lives and our relationships. That's about it. And I'm happy to, if we have time, we can answer some questions. Wow, I'm myself surprised that I'm on time. Thank you. So the questions can be also in German, and they don't have to be. I think I can speak, answer the questions in both languages. So maybe before, if you need to stand up, or if you need to, you know, give your attention to your spine, so that it's, find a way to make space for your body, for your breath. And I'd be really happy to hear your questions, or if you have anything that needs to be told. Yes, please. Absolutely. You can call it something else if you like. If it's body-based, first of all, if it's asana practice, you can also call it asana. That's totally fine. What I just feel is disturbing is because it's just, yoga has become just a word, a marketing tool. You know, you instantly know When you say yoga, it means, what does it mean? It means flexible body. You can do amazing exercises, which I can't do that. So it's not necessarily what. But yes, I do believe that it's time we change the names. We can call it what it is. Yeah.
Thank you for the inspiring talk. I was wondering, what is your opinion about YouTube channels like Yoga with Adrian and such?
Yes, it's also, I mean, again, it's gut gemeint. You want people to practice, there's a way. But also, like I said, for me, yoga is a relationship. Maybe eventually people have a relationship with Adrian also because they have practiced. But how much responsibility is there? How safe is it to be doing? It's always a spectrum, right? It's not an either or. You cannot have nothing. I do believe that we need to have access for people who probably from home can practice. It's also responsibility of the teacher maybe to also be naming what possibly. How to you know, if that's done, then yes. But otherwise, it's probably just mindless consumption of some things. It depends. It's very difficult to answer it as a complete no. I also believe one of the characteristics, what in Dismantling Racism Works also talks about in West culture, it's either or. It's a very typical solution, but that's not what we are talking about. There might be many people who needed that, and so I've never watched it, so I cannot tell you whether.
Thank you. Are there any more questions?
Yeah, thank you so much for your words. I personally had the feeling. The last years, especially in Berlin, I live in Berlin, so I can only talk about that. It seems to be like a self-optimization course, mm-hmm. where all the pupils looking the same, pushing in the same asana, what the yoga teacher is doing, while the yoga teacher has closed eyes and is enjoying the session. So I was never really thinking about that. This is a, how do you say, a Western style of doing yoga. So mm-hmm. when you said it, it just came like, wow. And I learned yoga. I was searching for a teacher in Berlin for so many years, and I found an 80-year-old lady who was the first who was able to give me that, what you were mm-hmm. describing what yoga is. So yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more question.
Or we just practice.
Sounds great.
Maybe if you want, you can stand up and or sit. If you need to sit, please be seated. I would like to give you one small practice, which is a great simple way to come back to to calm your nervous system, but also to really come back, to be connected to who you are, who you really are. And in yoga, we have this, the karmendriyas. They are the five organs that bring us close to the Atman. I'm not the breath, but the soul. And I would invite you to just feel it for now before we leave, so that there's something we practice together. And whether you're sitting or standing, find a way to be comfortable, be aware of your space, and as you inhale, at the end of the inhale, bring your attention to your feet. And whenever you exhale, empty completely, navel goes towards the spine, the lungs empty. And you can bring your hands to your chest and to your stomach. Inhaling, bring your attention to your feet. And end of the exhale, bring your attention to your hands. Do this in your own rhythm. End of the inhale, bringing your attention to your feet. Exhaling completely, letting go of every bit of air, and then bringing your attention also to your hands. You can also, if you want, rub your arms, palms together, and we end together. Thank you very much for showing up and for staying and for listening. If you want, we can chant 3 times Om. You don't have to. If you want to, you can. Otherwise, just think of a long ah or ooh. Without losing this, what we just together did, inhaling, bring your attention to the feet or the pelvis if you're sitting, and exhaling, bring your attention to your hands. And now we inhale to begin. Thank you very much.